If I haven't met you, my name is Steve. I am one of the pastors here at Riverview. And it is my distinct pleasure at this point in time to introduce you to Greg Veneta. We are going to appoint him as one of the elders here at Riverview Church today. And the opportunity, to be honest, to do this recognition, appointment of an elder does not happen too often around this place. And so this is really it's a special time. It is a God-honoring moment in the history of our church. We have appointed 16, I believe. We were trying to count this Friday, and I think it's been 16 elders in our 33-year history. But as we grow, as we, you know, is what Noel was talking about, planting new venues, planting new churches, we hope to be doing this more and more. Greg and I actually go all the way back to 1978 when he first moved to East Lansing to continue his degree program at Michigan State University. Greg grew up in Grand Blanc, Michigan, became a Christian in his high school years, early in his life. He went to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago where he received a degree in biblical theology after he graduated there from high school. While he was working on his degree in special education here at MSU, he got involved in the early days of the Riverview church plant. Those of us on the church plant team moved in 1977, so we had only been here for approximately 1 year from the state of Iowa. Riverview obviously was in its formative stages, and we didn't even have a Sunday service yet. That didn't happen for another 2 years. We were very much a campus ministry church. Our focus of outreach was in the Brody Dorm Complex. For those of you that are familiar with Michigan State, Greg lived in Emmons Hall, one of the Brody Dorms, and he proved to be one of the most outstanding evangelists, one of the most awesome disciple guys that we had ever seen. And back then, he was a tremendous example to me. There were many things that I learned from Greg over the years. He was not only a natural leader, but his life grabbed men. Over the next 4 years, as he finished his degree, he graduated. Greg continued to grow in character and in ministry skills. And in May of 1982, was appointed for the first time an elder in this church. So some of you don't even realize that this guy used to be an elder in Riverview. For some of you, that was a lifetime ago. I just want you to understand that Greg, this is very interesting, was doing the work of an elder while he was a student at Michigan State. Isn't that cool? Later on that same year, 1982, in September, Greg married his wife, Christine, and they have four children. One is married now for about a year, is it? She's been married for 6 months, and they have three boys. Here's a...
Chris and I have three boys.
I made a mistake there, huh? Oh, yeah. The qualifications of an elder. Here we go. Here's some cool trivia, though. Christine has a distinction of being the first person ever from the state of Michigan, as far as regarding our church plant, who became a believer and got involved with our church. And it happened on the first day of evangelism through the work of those who were helping to plant Riverview Church. That was in 1977 in the summer. A sister church from Ohio State University was up here doing evangelistic work. And on the first day that they went out to do evangelism, they met Christine and she became a Christian. How cool is that? And Greg grabbed hold of her. Anyway, Greg and Christine were also the second couple married that was not a part of the original church plant team. And you might think, well, what's the big deal about that? You need to understand that back in those days, everybody was 20-something and single. And so when anybody got married, I mean, having a couple in the church was a big deal. It was pretty cool. We celebrated. Everybody went, you know, gaga over. The whole church would go to the wedding service, thing like that. So it was really It was an amazing thing. Greg was one of the early guys that got married. Greg has a storied history with one of our affiliations, Great Commission Ministries. We are teamed up with Great Commission to help us with church planning, staff support, leadership development. All the guys that are serving on the MSU venue, they have raised their support through Great Commission Ministries. Today, both Greg and Noel serve on the board of Great Commission. So from 1982 to 1985, Greg served as one of the elders here at Riverview. In 1985, Greg moved to West Lafayette, Indiana, to plant a campus church at Purdue University. And then in 1987, he was off to Indianapolis. He was strengthening a new church plant there in that city. Once again, in 1990, he moved to Columbus, Ohio, pastoring a church that was reaching out to students at Ohio State University. And fortunately, he did not stay there long enough to become a Buckeye, because as you know, we already have two Buckeyes on the pastoral team. And so finally, in 2001, yeah, you will see tomorrow, that's right. 2001, Greg moved to Orlando, Florida, the headquarters of Great Commission Ministries, as the National Director of Campus Ministries. And from there, he was serving and working with campus churches all over the Midwest. And if that wasn't enough to do, while he was in Orlando, he also completed his Master's of Arts in Counseling from Reformed Theological Seminary. In 2006, Greg and Christine moved back to Christine's hometown of East Lansing. And from here, Greg continues to serve as Great Commission Minister's National Director of Campus Churches. That's his day job. And in many ways, Greg is a veteran elder. He's served the last 28 years of his life in full-time ministry, and many years prior to that as a volunteer leader. And our elder team, quite frankly, is very fortunate to have Greg with us. And many of you don't know this, but the last 3 years, Greg has been meeting with our elder team every week. He's praying for you. He's praying for our church. He's giving us his sage advice in different areas. He's offering coaching to a number of the leaders, a number of the guys. He's helping oversee the MSU venue, and now he's going to be working as a Riverview elder on a bivocational basis, primarily helping train men who want to be elders someday. Francis Chan said, "Rarely is there a pastor whose character exceeds his reputation." And I got to tell you, I think that's a perfect description of Greg here at Riverview, because for many of you, this will be the first time that you've ever met Greg. Yet his imprint on Riverview has been happening around here, obviously in the early days, and even now in the last 3 years. So just a couple of things that I want to emphasize from the Scripture concerning the quality and the character of the men to whom God delegates His authority to oversee His church before we pray for Greg and appoint him as an elder. In the New Testament, the emphasis for elder appointment was on character. I want to read to you two passages that detail the character qualifications of an elder. And I want you to just let these wash over you as I read these. 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. It says, "Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble work. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how in the world can he take care of God's church?" I added my own little emphasis there. "He must not be a recent convert, or he may be conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap." Quick comment here. These are qualities that every one of us should be aspiring to, men, women, all of us should be, well, it's, I guess it's hard for a woman to be the husband of one wife, but nonetheless, most of these we should all be aspiring to in our lives, whether we're ever recognized as such or not. Titus chapter 1. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. We're a bunch of believers in this island of Crete, a bunch of people that were becoming believers, and they needed leadership, and Paul was instructing Titus here how to do that. An elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an elder, or since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. What I want you to notice is that an elder is first of all a man of character. An elder is to be a man who is an example, really, on call, 24/7, 365. Think about it. An elder is one of the only jobs in the world where his personal life is required to be a part of the job description. Now, this is not true with most of the business world, the political world, obviously not the sports world. Tiger Woods, you know, he can keep his job, that's for sure. But it is true of the man who would lead God's church. Most of you can go to work, and when the day is over, it's over. You can go home. You can do nothing. You can forget about work. You can leave it alone, relax, veg out, whatever you want to do. But an elder is working even when he is home. Noel has said that the character of an elder means that his relationship with God must be worked out. His relationship with himself must be worked out. His relationship with his family must be worked out. And his relationship with other people, both inside and outside the church, has got to be worked out. So a man ought not to enter the work of being a pastor lightly. In fact, burden, stress on pastors, especially in the last number of decades, is felt deeply when one sees some recent stats. I have some stats here put together by Darren Patrick, and some of these stats are from the Barna Group, Focus on the Family. Listen to this. 1,500 pastors leave the ministry each month due to moral failure, burnout, contention in their church. 50% of pastors' marriages today end in divorce. 80% of pastors feel unqualified and discouraged in their role. 80% of seminary grads who enter the ministry leave the ministry within the first 5 years. 70% of pastors report that they have a constant fight with depression. And you add on to this fact, 80% of the pastor's spouses wish their spouse would choose another profession. You can see that this kind of work is not for the light of heart. I am so glad here at Riverview to be on an elder team rather than try to do this kind of thing all alone. So as a church, I want to ask you all to pray for Greg as he becomes your pastor. His full-time job is already ministry. I mean, he's already serving 16 other churches and their leaders. And he's adding to his work the responsibility of helping us here in Riverview, the role of training those who would want to be elders at some point in their life. So we're asking Greg to do a balancing act that is uncommon in a lot of work. The tension points of an elder will require Greg to be decisive on the one hand, and at the same time be submissive. He needs to have a sense of urgency about the work, and yet on the other hand, he needs to, you know, have a relaxed attitude. We're asking him to be tough-minded in the area of accountability and at the same time have tender-hearted compassion toward those who fail. We're asking him to be filled with faith for how God would use him, and yet on the other hand, not to think too highly of himself. So Greg and the other elders, why don't you guys come up to the stage, because here in a moment, Paul, Mark, yeah, here in a moment we're going to lay our hands on Greg. We're going to pray for him, recognizing his work. We're going to appoint you as one of the elders here at Riverview Church. And I want to stand over here so that we are looking at you. On behalf of the other elders, I want to read to you from 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul was encouraging his young son in the faith. Not that you're our son in the faith, but
Timothy, I am young.
But you are young. He is in a challenging situation. We ask you to serve along with us, and we give you this charge. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be prepared in season, out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Well, Greg, would you... Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the work that you've done in Greg's life all these decades. Thank you so much that he is here in this city, in this town, involved himself with our church, especially with our elder team and a number of the other leaders in our church here in Riverview. I pray that you would give him the grace to fulfill his ministry and to be the man that you've made him to be, leading other leaders and helping young men especially consider what the work is of becoming an elder, a leader of your people.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Greg's character and how he has set the bar for decades for so many young leaders. And so we just pray that you would continue to work in his life, continue to mature him, continue to help him to grow in character, to even apply the gospel to himself, and that he would be an example for other men, especially young men, to follow in his path. We just pray that he would be able to say to them, follow me as I follow you.
Dear God, I thank you that over the years, Greg has had so many opportunities to say yes to so many other things, but so many times he's said yes to you and trusted you. And I thank you for that experience and for just the history that he's had of being your disciple. And I just pray that the leaders that he raises up would just be of the same character and of the same mind. And so I just pray that you would just use him to just reach a bunch of guys, a bunch of ladies, a bunch of people just to follow you and to serve you in big ways, God.
Lord, thanks for Greg, and pray for his wisdom as he's involved in coaching so many churches, and now we're asking him to take on an expanded role here, that you would greatly expand his wisdom, his insight into situations, into people, and allow his influence to even be more multiplied in the years to come.
Thanks, Lord, for Greg's love and passion for not only you, but for other people. And thank you, Lord, for his just the long track record of sacrifice he's made over the years, because he's put you first in his life and his desire to serve and honor you above all else. And God, I pray you'd give him expediency and effectiveness, continue to grow that in his life with those that he comes in contact here at Riverview. And thank you, God, for the honor of having Greg on the team here at Riverview. how he'll serve all of us so well. And God, thank you for honoring today and appointing Greg to be one of your leadership review. And we give you honor for that. Amen.
So here we go. Greg gets to now teach us all. Thanks, bro. Greg, before you start, we do have the little forgot about this. Be it known that Gregory Lynn Veneta, having met the biblical qualifications for a pastor elder, having demonstrated an ability to teach, lead, manage the church, was appointed pastor elder February 20, 2010, by the order of Riverview Church in Holt, Michigan.
Thank you.